me, if you would, and stand with me, please. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I mean, glad you're saved tonight. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Well, Christmas is a wonderful time of year. It's hard to believe it was just Sunday, and now we're seem to be moving past it. But the truth of the matter is that Christmas message is not just for the month of December or before the 25th. The Christmas story lives on, amen?
Amen.
And I know the world, they have their Christmas time, but we as Christians have Christmas 365 days a year, and we praise the Lord for that. Luke chapter number 2, and I'll read some familiar verses to you tonight. I want to note one special word in here if I could, and I know the Lord has me to preach on this subject tonight. Verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. By the way, isn't that a wonderful thing, those shepherds? Those shepherds were in their place. What if they would have called in sick that night? Think about it. What if they would have made an excuse that night? They would have missed it, would they not? Listen, we should never miss a church service, amen?
Amen.
We never know what God's going to do and when God's going to work. But those shepherds, they were there. They were in their place. And the Bible said in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Boy, I think those shepherds, were there and heard the message, but thank God the shepherds obeyed the message, amen. And the Bible goes on to say, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They not only heard the message, they not only obeyed the message, but thank God they shared the message. By the way, those shepherds over 2,000 years ago had the right idea. That's what we should be doing today. We should hear the word of God. Amen. We should obey the word of God. And then we need to share the word of God. But the angels had a special message. And I find it in verse number 10. The Bible says, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Tonight, I want to preach on for just a little while, unwrapping some of the gifts of Christmas. And one of the gifts I believe the Lord gave us during this Christmas season is the gift of joy. Now more than ever do we need joy, amen?
Amen.
Now more than ever do we need to let our light shine.
Amen.
Oh, the night is growing dark, but our light should be shining brighter and brighter than ever before.
Amen.
But I'm sad to say tonight that many Christians are not showing forth, nor do they have the joy that our Lord Jesus promised and that our Lord Jesus can give. Let's pray together tonight. Father, please help me, Lord, tonight. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, I know how you've spoken to my heart. And Father, I pray you use your word and use your spirit and do what I cannot do, and that is speak to the heart of every individual tonight. Lord, bless this message. May you get great honor and glory. Lord, may people behold the Lamb tonight that was sung about. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I got to ask you a question. What was your favorite gift this Christmas? Or what was your favorite gift over your lifetime? Maybe it was a bike. Maybe it was a game. Maybe it was a scooter. Maybe it was some electronical device. But whatever gift you have gotten this year or in years past, I guarantee you one thing. Those gifts will either rust. Those gifts will break. Those gifts will corrode. Those gifts over time will even lose value. But I want you to know the gift that God gives us never does those things. Amen?
Amen.
The gift we got through our Lord Jesus. No wonder the Bible says, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If we were writing a Visa commercial, we might write this. Bicycles, $99.99. Diamond necklaces, $999.99. God's gift to the world, priceless. Priceless. So as we come to this season, sometimes we get so wrapped up in all the tinsel and the lights and all the messages and all the, traditions that we have. And if we're not careful sometimes, we forget the significance of the season. It's like the old boy who lived close to the train station and he had a visitor come over his house one night and he stayed the night and he woke up in the middle of the night just horrified with the train as the train came by. And he went to his friend in the morning and said, hey, how do you sleep through that train? He said, I've just gotten used to it, that's all. And how many Christians have just gotten used to the Christmas story and the message that God has for us? We quote and hear John 3:16 so many times, it's almost lost our thrill to us. It's almost like we don't understand what it is anymore. But I want you to know tonight, when you got Jesus Christ, you got it all, brother. Amen? Amen. When you got Him, you got it all. Thanks be unto God for that unspeakable gift. And by the way, it'll take all eternity to unwrap that gift. Mary unwrapped that first Christmas morning, that gift. Imagine what she unwrapped. She was holding in her very hands the way. She was holding in her very hands the truth. She was holding in her very hands the life. And I want you to know tonight, she was holding Jesus the Christ, amen? And I want you to know tonight, we hold in our hearts tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, and on our hands His eternal word. What a blessing we have tonight, amen? Oh, it's a blessing tonight. When we got Jesus, we got it all. But tonight, I want to look at one of the gifts that I think when we get the Lord Jesus, He gives us. And that's the gift of joy. Luke 1:14 says, Zechariah was told by the angels, you will have joy and gladness. In Luke 1:44, John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb when she heard the news. In Luke 1:47, the Bible says Mary rejoiced in God, her Savior. The Bible says in Luke 1:58, but there was rejoicing with Elizabeth. And of course, in our text tonight, in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 10, there was good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know, joy is a multifaceted gift. It's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. It's got a lot of different things on it, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, you open it up, it's good for a lot of things. Sometimes you need the knife, amen? Sometimes you need the scissors. Sometimes you need the tweezers. And just knowing you have that in your pocket brings a lot of assurance, does it not? Knowing that when you're riding down the highway, you have something, maybe even for protection, it doesn't matter, but that's the way joy is. Joy sometimes you'll need it in your hour of trial. Sometimes you have it in the hour of triumph, amen? Sometimes you have it in the hour of testing. Sometimes you have it in the hour of temptation. But I want you to know tonight, you can still have joy in every one of those hours, amen? Yeah. Joy is good for the good times and good for the bad times. Joy is good on the mountaintop and it's good in the valley. And it's about time God's people once again get their joy back, amen? Yeah. Now, when I'm talking about joy tonight, I'm talking about rejoicing and joy. 330 times the Bible mentions joy or rejoicing, but it only mentions happiness 26 times. See, happiness depends upon what happens to you. So if the circumstances are right, you can be happy. The car is running right, everything's going good, you have happiness, right? But if the circumstances are wrong, then you're unhappy. But I want you to know, joy doesn't come from the outside in. Joy comes from the inside out. The great evangelist Billy Sunday noticed the absence of joy in the life of many people he preached to. And here's what he said. He said, if there's no joy in your religion, then you've got a leak in your faith. If there's no joy in your religion, then you've got a leak in your faith. In other words, if there's no joy in your life, you've got a problem. You've got a leak someplace. And I want you to know, I've been in a lot of churches, and in our church, and this church here, as great as these churches are, I want you to know something tonight. There's a lot of Christians, there's thousands of Christians, millions of Christians, who do not have the joy that Jesus promised. They don't have a song in their heart. They don't have a spring in their step anymore. Why? Because I don't know exactly what's happened, but Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And I've got a question tonight. Where is the abundant life Jesus promised? Where is the joy Jesus promised? Where is it tonight? The devil comes but to steal and to kill and destroy. And the devil doesn't want you to have joy tonight. Why? You know why the devil doesn't want you to have joy? Because of this. The devil knows that the result of joy is this. You'll be a singing Christian if you have joy. You'll be a serving Christian if you have joy. You'll be a shouting Christian if you have joy. You'll be a soul-winning Christian if you have joy. You'll be a separated Christian if you have joy. You'll be a smiling Christian if you have joy. You'll be a sound Christian if you have joy. You'll be a spirit-filled Christian if you have joy. You'll be a sweet Christian if you have joy. You'll be a satisfied Christian if you have joy. You'll be a submissive Christian if you have joy. You'll be a strengthened Christian if you have joy. You'll be a striving Christian if you have joy. No wonder the devil wants to take your joy. No wonder he doesn't want you to have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? Is our strength. We have such weak, anemic Christians in this day and age that are walking around sucking their thumb, and the devil just seems to be getting the victory over the life. It's time for God's people once again to get the joy Jesus promised. Amen. Oh, may God help us tonight. But people don't have any idea about joy tonight. People think it's found in pleasure. They come to a church service like this and they wonder why people are shouting and singing the old hymns of Zion and smiling even when the economy's bad, amen? And giving even when the economy's bad and serving God even when the economy, they don't understand it. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He was known for his numerous love affairs. He wrote, "The worm and the canker and the grief are mine alone. Joy is not found in pleasure. Joy is not found in money." Jay Gould, the American millionaire, was worth around $72 million at his death. When dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on the earth. It's not in position. It's not in fame. It's not found there." Lord Beaconsfield was a British prime minister, a parliamentarian, a conservative statesman, literary figure. Here's what he wrote. "Youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret." Listen, I want you to know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Joy is not found in money. Joy is not found in our circumstances. Joy is not found in position. Joy is not found in fame. Joy is not found in prestige. Joy is not found in power. But joy is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where joy is tonight. Let me give you a couple of things. Number one, I want to talk to you about the source of our joy. The Bible says in Romans 5:11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." I want you to know the source of our joy tonight is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of our joy. He is the fountain of our joy. R.A. Torrey said there is more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days. And Torrey said, "I have tried them both." No wonder the songwriter wrote, "Jesus, you are the center of my joy." I want you to know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that our joy comes tonight through Jesus Christ. It is in Him. It is in our relationship with Him. He is the foundation. He is the founder. He is the author. He is the finisher. He is our joy tonight.
Amen.
If your joy has a leak tonight, if you don't have any joy tonight, it might mean your faith has a leak. It might mean tonight, as Sunday said, it might mean tonight that maybe your joy isn't what it should be because your relationship with Him isn't what it should be. The source of our joy is the Savior. The choice of our joy. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Joy is not based on our circumstances, but on our relationship with Jesus Christ. The joy is there, but sometimes we have to unplug what seems to be clogging up that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 26, please, in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter number 26. If you're still with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 26, a great story. Beginning in verse 17, talking about Isaac. The Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerah, and there dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines have stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." By the way, thank God for Isaac, who was following in his daddy's footsteps. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God he wasn't trying to change things around. Amen. Thank God he was going in the right path. And by the way, thank God you have a man of God here and his son who's following in his footsteps. Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 19. "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." Good news. "And the herdmen of Gerah did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him." So he said, okay, in verse 21, "And they digged another well, and they strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rebohath. And he has said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Do you understand what's happened here? Isaac is there. He's digging these wells again with his father. They were stopped up, and he goes to dig them up. And there, these folks were striving with him. So he names the one well Esek. He could have quit. He could have gave up. But he said, "You know what? I got to keep digging." So he goes again to another location. He starts digging again, and he gets there, and these men there are contending with him. And he calls this well Sitnah, and it's the well of contention. But then he says, "You know what? He could have quit. He could have given up. He could have said, 'The fight's too hard. It's too long. It's not worth it.'" But he said, "You know what? You can have this well over here with your strife, and you can have this well over here with your contention, because I'm going over here, and I'm going to dig some more." And he dug, and he dug, and he found that well, and he called it Rebohath. Why? Because that meant roominess and fruitfulness. I want to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things in this world that'll try to stop your joy up. There's a lot of things in this world that'll try to plug your relationship up with your God. But you know what you need to keep doing? Just keep on digging, amen? As one preacher said, they can take your well, amen, but they can't take your water. You have to choose to give him your water. And Isaac said, I don't choose to give him my water. I choose to keep on digging and keep on doing what God wants me to do. And in God's time, he'll bless me. In God's time, he'll make room for me. In God's time, he'll make me fruitful. And I want you to know today, listen, the circumstances of this life might be getting you down and everything might be just collapsing in on you. And it seems like well after well and time after time, it's just plugged up. But brother, just keep on digging because joy is coming again. Oh, God, help us today. Sometimes our well gets buried under our sins. Sometimes we have to undig and unbury our sin. The Bible says in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, if you're in sin, you're of all men most miserable. You need to get that relationship right with God tonight. You will never have joy. You'll never find joy until you get that sin right between you and your God. Sometimes we need to dig up not only the well of our sin, but the well of our sulking. David was in great distress in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all his people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, what? Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't sit around whining and complaining. He could have. But he would have lived in that whining and complaining. Instead, he looked to Jesus. Amen. Instead, he looked to the Lord. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes our well is stopped up because of our sulking. Sometimes our well is stopped up because of our success. The Bible says in Isaiah 16:10, and gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine, and their presses, I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Sometimes we get too big for our spiritual britches, do we not? And we think we're the man. We think we can do it. We think we've done this long enough. We've gone to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have every Sunday school pen you can think of. We've taught Sunday school classes. We've run bus routes. We've been to watch night service. We've come to Christmas Eve service. We've come to Christmas Day. I mean, we hear Christmas not only Christmas Sunday morning, but we hear Christmas Sunday night. Amen. We've gone soul winning. We've served the Lord. And so we think somehow we've arrived somewhere. I want to tell you, beware, beware, beware. You're walking in your own light. And if you walk in your own light, your joy is not found in yourself, friend. Our joy is found in Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to undig the well of not only our success, but sometimes of ourself.
Yeah.
Of ourself. After David killed Goliath, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:16, verses 6-9, remember what happened? The women started to sing and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. When at times Saul should have been rejoicing, when at times Saul should have been praising God, when at time, any time Saul should have joy, God had delivered Israel that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven. Our God is greater than any other God. I mean, God had done a mighty work, and these women start to sing. What does Saul do? Saul says, oh no, this is terrible. And you know what? It wasn't about God. It wasn't about the victory. It wasn't about the souls that were won. It wasn't about the great victory that God had given. No, it became all about Saul. I want you to know, thank God if that bus route had 100. Thank God if that person won 100 souls to Christ. Thank God if that church has over 1,000. Thank God if the people are walking down the aisles every single Sunday and God's blessing another brother and sister. Don't get jealous over that and don't point to yourself, because if you do that, you won't have the joy that Jesus wants you to have. Oh, God, help us. Sometimes we get too busy not only sulking over ourselves, but sometimes our sorrows. Dr. Howells, you say sorrow is the fabric from which joy is made. Oh, I can give you so many verses. The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:2, listen to this verse. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Wow. Did you hear that? How that in a great trial of affliction, okay? How that when everything was going wrong, how when the economy was going bad, when the bills weren't being paid, how that when it just seemed like the stresses and trials and temptations and defeats of life were upon them, the Bible says that even in their deep poverty, the Bible says they had an abundance of what? Of joy. I want to tell you tonight, there might be a shortage on money, but there's no shortage on joy. Amen? God has no shortage on joy. Oh, you can still have joy and no matter what time and what season you might live in. Oh, Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns, song like Tell Me the Story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. To God be the glory, great things he's done. And we shout about that and we say, man, that's a wonderful thing. But when she was 8 years old, she was blind, of course, and here's a poem she wrote. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world content I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. You know what Fanny Crosby found? She found the joy that came in Jesus.
Amen.
Yet we have two good eyes and two good arms and two good legs, and we have a good voice and we have a good ears and we have good this and good that. I wonder if you were blind, or if you lost your hearing, or if you lost someone dear to you, could you still praise the Lord? Could you still find the joy? Oh, listen tonight. We need joy now more than ever. Victory wouldn't be as sweet if there was no sacrifice.
Amen.
Rainbows wouldn't be as appreciated if there were no storms. Listen tonight. I don't know where you're at, but God wants His children to be joyful.
Amen.
It's time to get our joy back again. It's time to praise the Lord once again. It's time to walk in the victory. It's time to do what God wants us to do. Let me give you four quick things and I'm done. Four quick things and I'm done if I could. I want to talk to you about our joy tonight and how to keep our joy and how to get joy. Number one, we need to focus on the Savior. Would you write it down, please? If you don't hear anything else, hear these four things. Focus on the Savior. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, here's the secret. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Joy, somebody said, joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. You want to have full joy tonight? Focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your circumstances. Get your eyes off your defeats. Get your eyes off your woes. Get your eyes off this world. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Be like Peter and step out in the boat and walk on the water and keep your focus on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you take your focus off, that's when you sink. But as long as your eyes are on Him, God will bring you above your circumstances.
Amen.
Amen. God will cause you to walk on the water. God will cause you to do something greater than you've ever done before in the year 2012. Listen, I know these are hard times, and I know that the Bible haters are out there worse than they've ever been before, and the politicians are against us like they've never been before. And this world seems anti-Bible and anti-God like never before. But I want you to know, I've got a Savior tonight who's greater than all of them, amen? I've got a Savior worth serving tonight. I've got a Savior who can give you joy. Get in your Bible this year and walk with God and focus on Him and what He can do for your life, amen?
Oh,
focus on Him tonight, joy. So we see, how do we keep joy and how do we get joy? We focus on the Savior. Number two, we stay filled with the Scripture. Write it down, filled with the Scripture. The Bible says, write the verse down, 1 John chapter number 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Full. Your joy may be full. Again, in John chapter number 1, in verse number 4. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. I want to tell you, if you want to keep full joy, not only do you need to focus on the Savior, but you need to be filled with the Scripture. That's why when you come to church, you come to church to hear the Word of God. I appreciate the good singing tonight, and I appreciate the announcements. But you know what? When I come to church, I'm glad for the singing. I thank God for it, and glad for the choir when they sing, and glad for the fellowship. But I come because I want to hear the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
I want God to speak to my heart. I want God to speak to my soul. I need something for this week. Oh, listen, that's why you need to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and come to this watch night service. Come every service you can. Why? Because do you want to keep your joy full? The Bible says if you want to have full joy, these things are written unto you that you're what? That your joy may be full. That's why every day you need to get in the Word of God. Listen, I love Dr. Carter. He's a mighty preacher of God's Word. I thank God for him, and thank God for Pastor Stephen, a mighty preacher of God's Word, and the Word of God goes forth with power from this pulpit, and I thank God for that. But I want you to know that's not enough. Tomorrow, Thursday morning, you got to get up and got to get in the Word for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Friday, get in the Word for yourself. Saturday, the Word for yourself. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, get in the Word for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
You've got to get in God's Word. If you don't have a habit of being in God's Word, you need to make a habit. You say, I don't understand why I don't have joy. And I say, tell me about your Bible reading. Well, I haven't read my Bible all week. No wonder you don't have joy.
Amen.
You cannot have joy unless you focus on the Savior.
Yeah.
You cannot have joy unless you are filled with the Scriptures. Number three. You cannot have joy unless you're faithful to share the good news. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with the rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, what? with him. You read John chapter 15. I don't have time tonight. Verses 11 through 17. Read it later. It talks about how God gives us joy and how God gives us fruit and how we bring forth fruit. He's ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit and our fruit should remain, and talks about the joy that we can have. Matter of fact, verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." What was he talking about? He was talking about being a fruitful soul winner, winning people to Christ. I tell you, the greatest times of my life when I get to take a Bible or a track or something and lead somebody to the Savior. Amen. I got a phone call the other day at the church, and they asked me to go out and visit a man. He was 84 years old, dying of cancer. She said, "I don't know if he knows Christ or not." So I got in the car and I went out, and actually I had to go by myself. Didn't have anybody go with me. So I went to the house. I met the man there and said, "Your sister-in-law called me." This is his sister-in-law. You got to understand, this lady's sister has been dead for over 16 years. Over 16 years. But this woman in Kentucky was concerned about her brother-in-law in Naples. Amen. I went over to the house and he said, "I'm not feeling well." I said, "Can I talk to you just a little bit?" He said, "Sure, you can talk to me." He said, "Can we go back to the room?" We went back to the room. He said, "I got to lay down. Is it okay if I lay down?" "Sir, lay down if you want." "That's fine." He laid down. He said, I knew I didn't have a lot of time because he told his sister-in-law, "Give him a little bit of time." I said, "Sir, I don't have a lot of time." I said, "But, you know, I know you're on your deathbed here, basically." And I said, "I'm just going to get right to the point. Do you know for sure if you were to die today, you go to heaven, or tomorrow or next week?" He said, "No, I don't know for sure." I said, "Can I take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure?" He said, "Sure." He said, "But if I don't like it, I'll tell you no." I said, "That's fine." And I began to go through the gospel plan, told him that God loves all people and all men were sinners and sin must be paid for and Christ paid for our sin. And we must personally pray and receive Christ by faith as Savior. And I got down this verse, you know, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I called his name and I said, "Would you like to be saved today? Jesus could save you today." He said, "I sure would." Amen. I'm telling you, it's something when you lead somebody to Christ, but when they're close to death's door like that, I'm telling you, man, the angels of God were singing on that day and they were shouting. Amen. And when you pray, "Dear Jesus," and then you hear that old voice with cancer-ridden body say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner." Woo! I want to tell you something. That'll give you some joy. I walked out of that room just praising Jesus. Amen. I put on the internet. We have a little Twitter thing. I put on there, "God still saves sinners." Amen. Oh, thank God. I want you to know today, listen, there's sinners out there everywhere. You live in an area here where people are coming by the droves. I was just driving on I-4 the other day. Could not believe the traffic. You know what? There's sinners everywhere. But we've got to take the gospel to the sinners. Amen. We've got to knock on the doors. We've got to take some Bible tracts. We've got to open our mouths. We've got to witness once again. You say, why? Because when you do that, your joy can be full. Amen. Not only that, lastly tonight, we're talking about having full joy. We need to be faithful to share the good news. We need to be filled with the Scripture. We need to focus on the Savior. But lastly tonight, you want to keep your joy and have full joy? You get full joy when you fully trust Him like you should. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be" what? "Full." We need to trust Him. Tonight, I knew God wanted me to preach this message tonight. I walked up to the platform tonight and Dr. Carter leaned over and he whispered in my ear. He said to me, "I've got a sister here tonight who's going to die with cancer, but God's touched her in a special way." And as she stood back here, and as she stood and I watched her, I heard her testimony, but more importantly, I saw the joy that was pouring out of her life. Because she was at the point when the doctor said there's no hope. But her hope wasn't in the doctors. Her hope was in the Lord. And as she sat there, God touched her in a special way. Oh, I heard what she said, don't get me wrong. But I saw and heard what she said more with that joy that was just, did you notice the joy that was just oozing out of her? Amen. You know why? Because the Bible says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Amen. When you don't pray, you'll find out you'll have a less and less desire for God. When you don't pray, you're going to seem to be stressed out, as the world just seems to just take everything out of you and just leaves you with nothing. Amen. When you don't pray, you'll have a loss of ongoing purification in your heart and soul. When you don't pray, you'll find it becomes hard to pray. Yeah. When you don't trust God like you should, you'll find that other things fill God's place. When you don't trust God like you should, you'll cease to have a close relationship with Him. When you don't trust God and pray like you should, you'll lose focus and purpose in life. When you don't trust God like you should, you won't have the joy that you need in your heart. When you don't trust God and pray like you should, you're going to experience some emptiness in life. When you don't pray and trust God like you should, you're going to look to someone or something else to affirm you instead of God. When you don't pray and trust God like you should, you're going to get involved with other things in order to feel good about yourself. When you don't trust God like you should, you're going to cease to think about eternal life and focus on this world's concern. When you don't trust God like you should, you're going to become a stumbling block to others and you won't witness others. So I want to tell you today, it's time we start trusting God again. You say, why don't I have joy? Maybe you're not focusing on the Savior. Why don't I have joy? Maybe you're not filled with the Scripture. Why don't I have joy? Maybe you're not being fruitful like God wants you to be and be a faithful witness that God wants you to be. Why don't I have joy? Maybe you're not fully. I'm talking about 100%. I'm talking about all your mind and all your soul and all your heart, trusting Him like you should trust Him. Oh, may God help us tonight.
Yeah.
Charles Spurgeon said this, there's a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. You know what we need today in this day and hour? We need Christians with full joy. I'm asking God to help me. I'm asking God to help me to have the joy that I need to have. And if we're going to have the joy we need to have tonight, look here, please. Some of you have been coming to church for a long time, and some of you, so there's some people who sit in our church at Dr. Carter, they're just going through the motions. They're just here because they're just here. I don't want to be here just to be here. I want to be here because I want to be here. I get to be here. Not that I have to be here. But that I don't want to serve the Lord because I have to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord because I want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
After all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me?
Amen.
Listen, some of us need to examine ourselves tonight. We're walking around and we're like walking dead men, excuse me. We don't have the joy. We don't have a song on our lips. We don't have a witness on our lips. We don't have a praise in our mouth. We walk around like we're in shackles and chains. Listen, the Bible says the truth will make you free. January 4th, 1987, I was freed. Amen. Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'll never feel a lick of hell's fire. Amen. I'll never smell hell's smoke. I want you to know tonight. I'll never be one nanosecond in hell. Why? Because Jesus came from heaven and He died on a cross. He rose again the third day. He saved my soul. If nothing else, my house can go. My car can go. Everything I own can go. But as long as I have Jesus, I have everything I need. And so do you tonight. May God help us. But the devil's trying to steal our joy tonight. The devil's trying to get us to just live under our burdens and under our circumstances. Why? Because the devil knows that a joyful Christian's a singing Christian. A joyful Christian's a serving Christian. A joyful Christian is a shouting Christian. A joyful Christian is a soul-winning Christian. A joyful Christian is a separated Christian. A joyful Christian is a shining Christian. A joyful Christian is a smiling Christian. A joyful Christian is a sound Christian. A joyful Christian is a spirit-filled Christian. A joyful Christian is a sweet Christian. A joyful Christian is a satisfied Christian. A joyful Christian is a submissive Christian. A joyful Christian is a striving Christian. And a joyful Christian is a strengthened Christian.
Amen.
May God help us tonight by the power of His Spirit to search our hearts and our lives and to see if we have the joy that Jesus promised. And if something tonight is blocking or hindering, nothing like the old songwriter wrote, nothing between my soul and the Savior, keep the way clear, let nothing between. Ask God by His Spirit tonight and maybe by bowing the knee tonight to just channel through, amen, and to plug back in and to connect back in to the joy that Jesus has for us tonight. May God help us live as the Lord would have us live.